Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us here on the Mark Steiner Show and your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. On our way to this conversation with young people in Baltimore City who are fighting for certain political issues, we're going to hear more about them. I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. Belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. More information at www.mecu.com or at steinershow.org is MeQ, Baltimore Credit Union's banner. And they help you bring conversations like this, which is hearing what young people think in our city. We have two young members of the Intersection with us and their director of student support services. And I mean, just say the point of clarity here and full disclosure, I have a board member of the Intersection, which is not why they're here on the show, but because of the work they do. We're here with Anastasia Maruni, who is director of student support services for the Intersection. Good to meet you, Anastasia.
Thank you so much for having us, Mark.
And Taylor Spann and Niara Ferguson are in the studio. Niara. I got one right now. Niara Ferguson, our student leaders at the Intersection, both go to the Bard High School here in Baltimore. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What's the official title of the high school again? What's it called again?
Bard High School Early College, Baltimore.
Good. There we go. 410-319-8888 is the number here to join us by phone. You can email us at steinershow.org. You can also tweet us at Mark Steiner, but do join in at 410-319-8888. So who wants to begin? What brought you here?
Our main mission in being here this morning is to promote Question E.
What is Question E?
The Child and Youth Investment Act.
So who wants to describe that? Niara?
So the Children and Youth Investment Act is a bill that will hopefully be passed tomorrow, fingers crossed. We're all really confident it will pass, but essentially it'll be giving 3% of the city's budget to different youth services in Baltimore City.
So why did you all take this on as your cause for this election? Is the thing you wanted to push for? What was that? What is it about this that's important, I guess I'm trying to say?
Well, in recent years, we've seen a lot of stuff happening in the youth community as young people ourselves, and we thought this would be a very good thing to support because it does help young people outside of the classroom. We talk a lot about education, and we find education to be extremely important. But outside of the classroom, there are other things that need to be done. There needs to be places for young people to go. And we find that the money, the $11 million from this, could definitely go towards finding kids who do well in school or who don't do well in school, places outside of school, to continue to progress and better themselves.
So I want to come back to that and ask you both a question about that. I'm curious about where you see your generation in all of this and, you know, why this is important and what you and your peers, what you face outside of school. I mean, you're in a fairly safe atmosphere inside your school because of the kind of school it is we can talk about. But outside is a question. So Anastasia, talk a bit about the origins of all this campaign and what's going on here.
Sure. So the Children and Youth Investment Act is an initiative by City Council President Jack Young. Our students have been campaigning in favor of this bill since last November. They testified at City Hall. The City Council passed the bill unanimously. It was then vetoed by the mayor. The bill went back to the City Council, overturned the veto, first time in Baltimore since 1982. And our students have then been actively campaigning to persuade citizens to vote in favor of the bill. This summer, our students knocked on over 800 doors, registered about 50 voters in the District 13 in Southeast Baltimore.
So talk a bit about your work in this. What you did to support this initiative and how you went about it and what you all learned from it. Because I bet you there might be. Is this your first time doing like a political campaign like this, Niara?
It is for me.
No, not for me.
Okay. Well, let's hear. Well, how about the not for me and then for me? What? Tell us a bit about what did you do before this?
before this, I did a couple other projects with the intersection that had to do with just different laws like being passed that would, you know, benefit the city. But I think this is one of the most important ones I've done, the Children Youth Investment Act, because it's so important, you know, for this generation, especially after what we faced during the uprisings and the aftermath of that. I really think it's important for the youth of the city to, you know, be heard and just, you know, be supported, because they don't, you know, have a lot of resources or opportunities. This summer was really amazing, actually. I met a lot of different people, and we, along with some other intersection members, we got registered to vote. No, not registered to vote, sorry. We got registered to help people register to vote.
Gotcha. Yeah. Right.
So we registered about 46 people to hopefully vote for the act, and we just met a lot of different people who were really passionate about it, but we also met people who were not as understanding about, you know, why, you know, it would be necessary for this bill to be passed. So,
This is your first campaign. So, what did you learn from this? I wonder how you convinced folks who weren't sure.
So, in the campaign, so unlike Mayor, I was not knocking on doors over the summer. I had a prior engagement as an engineering student, but I did have the chance to meet with local, with our council members, and it was interesting. It was very interesting to me because the only experience I think I had with politics and government was probably my AP government class in 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I don't remember anything from that class.
That's fine. I understand that. Yep, yep.
So for me, this was definitely a learning experience, learning how government, especially in Baltimore City in particular, the city I live in, how it works. In meeting the council members, meeting my council person, because I was not aware of who my council person was prior to
who
this
is it?
Year. Brandon Scott.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, this was it was an interesting experience to meet politicians and see what was happening firsthand. It was a lot more interesting and a lot more, I'd say, motivating in a sense than just reading a textbook for hours a day.
Right, because you actually kind of felt it and could see what this process was about.
And how important it is. And how I do have a voice. I didn't realize that prior to doing anything with the intersection. I just thought, well, I'm not 18 yet, so I can't vote.
How old are you?
I'm 17 right now, so I still can't vote. but I'm not 18, so I can't vote. There's no way I can make a change. And then, you know, I met my local council people, and we helped convince them to vote in favor of the bill. And we overturned a veto.
That's pretty amazing,
for the first time in almost over 20 years.
Yeah. It was amazing.
And so, Naira, I guess you all feel like you were really in the midst of changing that, of getting that veto overturned. Part of it was your work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was really amazing after, like, realizing that no one had, like, overturned a veto in so long. I thought that was a really revolutionary moment for, you know, for all of us, so.
So what did it teach you all? What did you learn from that? What did you walk away with from all that?
Young people can make history.
Yeah. Just really amazing how it happened, honestly.
Because I think that what you're doing here, but you know, this is an important part of the conversation, I mean, because I'm going to come back to the ballot measure so we can make sure people understand what they're voting for tomorrow again. But that you all had a critical role in changing a vote in the city among city council people that you lobbied for and worked for as teenagers who cannot vote yet, right?
Yeah.
How old are you, Naira?
I'm 17.
You're both 17, right?
Yeah.
So, but you did this. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very powerful. So how did that make it? I mean, I'm curious, A, what you walked away with from that, as I think I asked earlier, and how do you feel about that?
I don't know. I just felt really inspired. I just felt really like she said, like, kids can change the world nowadays, and it's so revolutionary for us to be able to, you know, make that change.
And folks, you want to talk to some beautiful, wonderful, brilliant young revolutionary students? Call now, 410-319-8888 to join in this conversation with these two young people from the intersection, Taylor Spann and Nyara Ferguson, both who are students at the Bard School here in Baltimore, which is a charter school in the city. Am I charter?
No? We're actually a public school.
Thank you for correcting me. I needed that correction. That was good. Which is, but you have support from Bard College, which is in New York State.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right. And Anastasia Maroni is with us, who is Director of Student Support Services at the intersection. 410-319-8888. You can also text us at Mark Steiner, or you tweet us at Mark Steiner, I should say, and you can also send an email to talk@steinershow.org. So, you know, this is, I think, really important to kind of get into. I've known the intersection for a long time. From the moment Zeke Cohen kind of decided he wanted to create this organization. The important thing here to realize is how much this kind of empowers students, changes the lives of students. I mean, students are involved in their community through the intersection, doing things like you all are doing, which is fighting for a particular ballot measure and kind of getting involved in the political life of the city.
The impact that our students had in passing this bill is exactly why the Children Youth Investment Act is so important. What our students at the intersection have been able to do and the voice they've been able to have is something that all students in Baltimore should be able to have. And that's why we need more resources. We need more investment in our youth. And so tomorrow, when people are going out to the polls, that's what they should be thinking about, and not just the few students at the intersection and how they were able to make this happen, but how all of our youth can be invested in local politics so that they feel empowered, so that they feel like their voice matters.
So, folks, I'm going to hear your thoughts. This is question
E.
E. So what are your thoughts about question E? Do you think we need a Youth Investment Act? Would you vote for it? Would you vote against it? What don't you know about it? What would you like to know about it? 410-319-8888. Please leave on the phones and let us know what you think, or send me an email to talk@steinershow.org, or you can tweet us at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. We'll get your thoughts coming in here in just a minute. Let's go back to the beginning here. Talk a bit about question E and exactly what it says. What effect do you think it would really have? I mean, how would it change things if that money was actually there, that $11 million that would be that the city council will have to commit to that amount at least for youth in the city?
Well, it definitely wouldn't happen overnight. It's something that would, you know, it would take, it would definitely take time to, you know, be in effect. But even starting now, like, you have to start somewhere in order for, you have to start now to be able to see change, you know, further down the line. It would definitely give youth a better feeling about how the city sees them as people, because nowadays youth do not feel like they have opportunities. And a lot of people tell youth of the city to just, like, don't stay in Baltimore. Like, leave as soon as you can.
Get out.
Yeah. Honestly, like, no one really wants, they just don't want their kids to stay here because of what they face. And it's just not, you know, it's just not healthy. Yeah.
Taylor?
I agree with her. So my family is not originally from here,
mm-hmm.
And I was receiving phone calls, you know, from family members in Detroit saying that I shouldn't really be here, and I thought it was...
What do you mean you shouldn't really be here?
I really shouldn't be in Baltimore. It's not a place where I should stay,
mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that to be true. I think when I started, so for a long time I was in private education, not in the city. And I had the same stigma. I, like, had the same thoughts in my mind about Baltimore City and Baltimore City youth that most people, even, you know, after the riots, most people around the country have now. And I came from private school to public school, and I saw that that's not what it was like at all. You know, I went to Western prior to going to Bard, and I saw these women, these black women, independent black women, left and right, just doing things for themselves, going to college, doing all the things that a lot of people don't think Baltimore City kids do. And I thought there's something needs to be done about this. We need to change sort of how people see Baltimore City youth. And I think a big part of changing that is to get kids more involved and to get kids sort of get them out of those mm-hmm. those environments that they're associated with. And I think the money from this could go towards helping those kids get out of those environments and see better, brighter opportunities.
So let's go to the phones and see what our listeners are thinking and what questions they might have for you at 410-319-8888. Let's go to Vincent. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hello. How are you doing, Mark?
Very well. Good morning.
Can you all hear? That's great. I think what they're doing is a great thing. We need more youth just like them doing exactly what they're doing. And I think that that's what the government ought to do, have the money that's there allocated to the youth, to the kids, because that's where a lot of the problems have come in. When they shut down the rec centers, the little things that used to keep them occupied, other than being busy on a street corner, they were in there playing basketball, playing games, learning different other things from tutors, different people. But
right.
when you close down everything that they're accustomed to having, that doesn't leave them much of a choice but to turn to the streets. And I think what these young ladies are doing is a bright and great thing.
Amen to that. I agree with you completely, Vincent. I think that this generation is an amazing generation to me. From the ages of 15 on to 35, they're doing just amazing stuff. They're in the middle of it, which is what we need. And let's get another caller here. You can respond, okay? 410-319-8888. Brian, you're on the air. Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I think this is ridiculous.
Which one?
I think it's horrible that we have to have a ballot initiative to support youth.
Right. I mean, right.
What does that say about us as a civic society that the mayor would veto a bill that supports youth? I mean, what kind of politics is that? I mean, what kind of... to me, it's just dumbfounding. And you're only talking $11 million.
Right.
You got to give me a break here. So, you know, what can you give me some background, some insight into the politics behind this? What was the rationale for vetoing this? I mean, who could be against this? What could be... I can't understand why you would say, no, we can't do this.
Ladies, you want to jump? Nayara, look like you're ready to leap in. Go ahead.
That is a great question. I can't even fathom why she would veto a bill that is so important for the youth of our city. And I, as he was speaking, I was like, I can't. He sounds exactly how I sound. Like, on the inside, I just can't understand why. It's like they don't want us to succeed. They don't want to see us go places. Like, why can't we, you know, just help us? Like, we need help. We need resources. We need opportunities.
When she said, the mayor said, the mayor said when she said this, that she said that she was opposed to it because he said earmarking a pot of money is bad fiscal policy that would tie the hands of future mayors when you're facing a $75 million deficit. In the year fiscal year beginning July 1st.
I think to go back to what the gentleman said before these comments were made, I feel like she looks at this as numbers. She sees this as numbers going, like, you can only have a certain amount of money. We know that. Everybody knows that. We know there's only a certain amount of money that can be used. We know that we're facing financial troubles. But I feel that in this instance, and for some people, they look at it more as numbers, not they see them closing down that rec center as, well, we have a little bit more money to use for other things, instead of seeing it as there's a group of kids who have to change their entire routine. For a lot of kids in the city, it is so hard to get places. You have public transportation, which can take hours. You have kids working jobs. And to take away the accessibility to places like this where they can relax. I mean, they have to put up a front all day. to try and prove to people that they're not the super criminals that you see in the streets. Mm-hmm. They need a place to relax, and you're taking it away from them. And just thinking about, like, changing a routine. Their routine is to do their homework at the rec center, play a little bit of ball, and then go back home. And you close that rec center, they have to change their entire world. So, you know, I think for them it's numbers. For us, this is a big deal.
And it is. You've done incredible work here. So, again, question E.
Yes.
Ballot measure E.
Yes.
Yes.
And you're encouraging people to vote yes for youth funding, which is $11 million in the next fiscal year's budget.
Yes.
Okay. So, and also these young people were part of the movement that actually overturned the mayor's veto in this regard. They're doing incredible work. Taylor Spann, Nayara Ferguson. Good to have you both here. So good to have you both. Thank you so much for the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Glad
so
you all in Bart High School. Anastasia Morani from the intersection where you're a student, director of student support services. Great to have you in the studio. Thank you so much for bringing them over here this morning.
Thank you so much for having us, Mark. It was great to be here.
It was great. Good. All right. Lovely to meet you. Hope you all come back. Do some commentary on the show. Looking forward to having you back.
We'll be here to celebrate our victory.
Yes, amen to that. There you go. All right. Thank you all for calling in and writing in and making the show what it is. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producer is Mark Gunnery. Our producer is Imani Spence. Our research producer is Calvin Perry. Our engineer is Andrew Melton. Theme music by Wal Matthews of Clean Cut. Send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. Podcast Mark Steiner Show at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. If you're a source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, get out there and vote tomorrow. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.